Air Cascadia. Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today's Wednesday, March 25th, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Tim Hermack of the Native Forest Council is here to set us straight on what forest thinning really means.
A W.R. Grace employee says that he helped the company delay health studies on asbestos.
And President Obama cozies up to NATO and the U.S. population.
Portland area weather, rain. Tonight, rain. Tomorrow, rain. Highs around 50 and lows around 35.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. We hear from a lot of different agencies, state, local, national, on the subject of environmental stewardship. Some of the words go to the heart of the matter, but a lot of the talk is an elaborate policy mating dance of sorts among nonprofit wonks and government shills. Today, my guest Tim Hermack with the Native Forest Council is here to set us straight on the issue of stimulus money and what forest thinning really means. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for being here.
It's unfortunately my pleasure.
Well, talk about this. When the talk of course, money, everybody's ears prick up. And stimulus money, free money, that's even better. And we're going to use it to thin forests. What do you make of that?
Rape the state. More theft and destruction of publicly owned commonwealth. That which makes the Pacific Northwest great. Forests and the water, the fish, the climate, the weather, have been decimated by the timber industry. Teddy Roosevelt said it 100 years ago, that the industry is made up of liars, cheats, and thieves, and even worse. And if you look at the 95% of the Northwest that's already been clear-cut, that's what this thinning will do. It's another Trojan horse. And unfortunately, $1 billion of new logging money has already been passed and signed into law, hidden, buried in the stimulus package. Our Senator Wyden and Congressman DeFazio and the others are all very happy that they say they're going to double the logging in national forests for biofuels, cellulosic ethanol, and trees to electricity. How dumb can we get? Unfortunately, most of our green community, other environmental organizations, are all very supportive of thinning in the misguided idea that the timber industry was right, that more chainsaws and logging can restore the old growth, can make the forest healthy, can reduce fuels, that we can destroy the village to save it. It's a lot of nonsense when Oregon Wild, Wilderness Society, EcoTrust, Nature Conservancy, and even some parts of the National Sierra Club are supporting this increase in logging under the green alternative energy idea. Well, when you follow the money, you find that the Weyerhaeuser Foundation, Laird Norton, Bullitt, Wilberforce, Brainerd, Fred Meyer Memorial Trust, and others have sent millions and millions of dollars into the environmental community to support this collaboration, stewardship contracting, and more logging. This is a threat when you look at climate change and global warming and the loss of our drinking water, the salmon, and so many other things. It's clear that organizations and even our parents have voted no on saving nature and human existence on this earth. It's up to our children. They know better. They can still see, and they understand right from wrong. They're not caught up in the rat race. All of us pulling together can make a difference, but not when we sell out, not when we appease and compromise, not when we accept more death and destruction in the stupidity of economy.
Tim, thank you so much for that. I don't think I've ever heard anyone state it more clearly and better. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
My guest has been Tim Hammack with the Native Forest Councils.
There's some environmental good news out of Idaho. More than 1,200 acres of wetlands and other habitat near Challis will be protected under a new conservation easement. The Nature Conservancy bought the easement rights to try to stop development on the land, which they say includes prime salmon spawning habitat on the Possumeroy River and land used by sage grouse, songbirds, and big game animals. Meanwhile, back in Oregon, the log trucks keep rolling.
In Washington State, it's one step forward, two steps back. 2 years after voters compelled utilities to use cleaner energy, Initiative 937 backers say a measure in the state legislature would gut that law. The House Committee on Technology, Energy, and Communications today plans to consider Senate Bill 5840. That one raises clean energy goals but eases requirements of I-937. Initiative supporters say that the bill lets utilities off the hook by allowing them to count existing small hydropower and biomass plants towards those goals.
When California gets thirsty, Oregon feels parched. Santa Clara Valley Water District wants its Silicon Valley customers to cut back on water usage by 15% this summer, or at least until they can figure out how to get more cheap water from Oregon.
And to solidify Oregon's reputation as a center of all things environmentally sound, Portland may soon be home to the greenest large building in the world. More than a dozen businesses, nonprofits, and universities are working with the Oregon University System to get a piece of the Oregon Sustainability Center. Bottom line, another high-rise is going up near PSU. Now, let's get back to saving farmland, forests, and fish.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is handing out $170 million for habitat improvement projects aimed at helping species such as endangered salmon. The new grant program is intended to produce long-term ecological effects and create or save jobs, such as those of engineers and ecologists. But none of this will save the fish if we keep destroying rivers and the upstream spawning grounds.
And here's exactly how that's happening right now, right before our eyes. Planners with the Deschutes National Forest are reworking their blueprint for a proposed off-highway vehicle trail system south of Bend because of concerns from the public. The original plan, released in January, would have had motorcycle trails cut across the Newberry National Volcanic Monument.
Laid-off workers can enroll for free this spring at Oregon Institute of Technology's Klamath Falls campus and Klamath Falls Community College. The presidents of the two campuses announced yesterday that any Oregon resident who was laid off since October 1st can take classes for free on a space-available basis. Once in a while, we do something right.
Well, yep, we do seem to have some public will left, some backbone somewhere in there. Finally, we're heading in the right direction. Lawyers are trying to work out a deal to get one of Lane County's troubled RV manufacturers back in production. The idea is a limited restart of the production line at Country Coaches Junction City plant, with the company selling one or two vehicles a week directly from the plant and putting as many as 100 workers back to work. No amount of stimulus money goes as far as keeping people's jobs alive.
The U.S. Senate has confirmed former Washington Governor Gary Locke as Commerce Secretary. Locke has promised to focus on job creation and to closely oversee the 2010 census. Republicans don't like rumblings from the White House indicating that the Obama administration might seek greater control over the census. The Commerce Department has broad responsibilities, including the census, many aspects of international trade, oceans policy, and weather forecast.
Weather forecasting, I love it. But what's really interested, Barriott, in that is the issue of the census, which has this time around become politicized. Seems like yesterday, and as a matter of fact, it was yesterday, that former W.R. Grace employee Robert Locke testified that he personally helped delay asbestos studies. Locke says the 1980-81 OSHA study would have assessed the public hazard, health hazards of asbestos-laced vermiculite mine near Libby. Locke says that the outcome could have devastated Grace's vermiculite business.
In Kitsap County, Washington, 55-year-old Bruce Olson lost his home and now lives in a trailer. Why? Because of the cost of fighting two felony charges filed in May 2007 for growing and selling medical marijuana. Olson himself is a patient. This week, Superior Court jurors acquitted him, but as is always the case, no one can give Bruce Olson back his home or his life. The land of the free and the home of the brave.
Indeed. Okay, now we go to national news. Hours before President Obama was to hold a primetime news conference yesterday, a key Democratic senator, Kent Conrad, unveiled a scaled-down budget proposal. Conrad says that his proposal maintains key elements of the Obama budget plan. Conrad and other centrist Democratic senators have raised concerns about the long-term impact of the president's spending plan on the deficit. Joining us today, of course, is KBOO Spencer Raymond. He's been studying these strange birds for at least a week now. Good morning, Spencer. What do you make of this?
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Well, it was the second primetime news conference for President Obama last night. And as we've seen him do before, we saw him do it with the first stimulus package back in February, is he's going into campaign mode here. And this has become sort of a trend of his administration that is differing in a pretty big way from the Bush administration. Remember Bush, when he would rarely give primetime press conferences, but he would give addresses. He would say, this is what's going on. This is my plan. Da, 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 da. That was about it. What we see Obama doing now is really making a plea to the nation saying, look, this is what we have to do. This is what my ideas are, and this is what I'm asking Congress for. Let's rally the country to be motivated for my policy, and that's what he sees these primetime news conferences are. Chris, as you mentioned, you're right. The Democrats, even in Obama's own party, are trying to scale down his own budget. Obama admits that, yes, you know, he doesn't expect the Congress to take his budget, as he said, Xerox it and sign it away. But he did emphasize four main points that he wants to see through. That is the health care, education, environment, and to work on getting the economy back together, all while reducing the deficit. And it can sound confusing. How can spending be increased if the deficit is, you know, supposed to be decreasing? It's a long-term goal. It's 10 years out.
A lot of people are beginning to question the wisdom of this sort of massive deficit spending. Paul Krugman, among them, doesn't like it, and a lot of Democrats are starting to back away from it, but nobody else has an alternative plan. It's sort of like President Obama gave a conference, press conference last night, and all I got was a bill for a lousy $3 trillion T-shirt. So does anyone else, are there any signs of, in wrapping up, are there any signs that anyone else has a better idea?
Well, and that's the thing. No one really knows how to handle all of these, call them progressive moves that Obama wants to make, making a nationwide Medicare-like health coverage for all Americans, the cap and trade for fossil fuels. There's a lot of these things going that Obama and the Democrats are really the only ones pushing. And when Obama has people from his own party starting to chisel this away, that's why that's when it starts to get risky and confusing on who is in the lead here. And Chris, I might point out that we talked about this in the fall when Hillary Clinton was appointed to be Secretary of State. Who in the Senate is really strong enough or brave enough to stand up against Obama in his own party and say, wait a minute, we're not just going to sign this without doing anything. Is Pelosi going to do it? We'll have to see.
It's not likely, though. Thank you so much. That, of course, is KBOO's reporter, Spencer Raymond, joining us with DC Dirt, as he does every weekday morning. Thank you so much, Spencer.
Thanks, Chris.
America is still fighting to keep one of Europe's leading Muslim scholars, Tariq Ramadan, out of the country. Yesterday, a U.S. government lawyer argued against revoking a high-profile travel ban on Ramadan. The visa ban was instituted under former President George Bush. The ban has since become a test case for human rights groups. They've called on President Obama to stop refusing visas to foreigners on ideological grounds.
That was a human rights test case of the week. We have an environmental rights test case also before us. Let's see what happens now that the Environmental Protection Agency is unencumbered by the albatross that was the Bush administration. No disrespect to albatrosses. The EPA is sharpening its oversight of mountaintop coal mining to ensure projects do not harm streams and wetlands. How can they avoid harming or taking the top off a mountain? The agency is currently reviewing 150 to 200 applications for new or expanded surface coal mines. That alone ought to send chills up and down the spines of anybody who cares about air, water, and so forth. Many mountaintop removal operations are still pending before the federal government.
Wonder why we're still fighting a meaningless war in Afghanistan? Two words, oil and gas. Afghanistan hopes to attract foreign energy companies to look for oil and natural gas. The Afghan Ministry of Mines announced the first round of bidding to lease three tracts of land near the Turkmenistan border for exploration. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, March 25th, 2009. Editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Catherine Austin Fitz analyzes the Treasury Department's plan for the economy, and Ali Aboudina talks about Gaza and the possibility of freedom and justice for Palestinians.
Thanks so much for listening, and have a good day.